Throughout the ages, history has been altered by word of mouth and the misrepresentation of those who might not have been present when some of the world's most significant events took place. Channelers Barry and Connie Strom bring through the spirits of those who actually witnessed or took part in these historical events and lets them tell their stories in their own words. Welcome to Channeling History. And now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. By now, you should know that we're the only show where we speak to the souls that are on the other side and the souls that made things happen in the past. And we're brought to you every Sunday on the Pyrex Radio Network.
And I would like to thank you all for tuning in to our show this evening. I'm Connie Strom, your co-host. Tonight, we're going to be channeling the spirits of President Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill. At the end of World War II, these two individuals, along with Joseph Stalin, made decisions that basically decided the reconstruction of Europe and who would control Germany, Poland, and the rest of the Axis countries that were controlled by Nazi Germany. Decisions made at the Yalta Conference in February of 1945 laid the foundation for the Cold War that was to haunt the world for the next 45 years and is still affecting our society today.
Okay, now we're going to, with these two guests, we're going to be hearing some things people may not like. So we're going to do our disclaimer. The opinion statements voiced on our show, the channel words of the spirits, do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the PowerX Network or of our sponsors.
I really enjoyed last week's show. We channeled the spirits of baseball star Lou Gehrig and Muhammad Ali. Both of these individuals had life plans that ended with long-suffering illnesses, and they both set wonderful examples for others in how they lived their lives. All of our shows are available on our YouTube channel in Barry's name, or if you'd like to download them, go to Podomatic.com and just search Channeling History. And we can also be heard on Spotify, Audible, Pandora, iTunes, and other platforms.
Now, we welcome your questions tonight through the chat room. While we do have many of our questions prepared for our guests, we welcome your participation and look forward to your questions. Now, when we begin channeling tonight, Connie will ask the questions, and I will answer the questions in the words of the Spirit. But before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. So, Connie, let's say the prayer, and then we will begin to channel.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive, pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God.
Okay, let me give you a little bit of background for our special show tonight. In February of 1945, it was becoming obvious that Germany, or Nazi Germany, was losing the war in Europe. But it was still waging in the Pacific with the prospect that the Allies were going to have to invade Japan itself. That was a prospect that would have taken hundreds of thousands of our guys' lives. The atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki was not yet tested. The three leaders of the Allies, U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt, Prime Minister of Britain Winston Churchill, and the Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin met in Yalta, which is located along the Black Sea coast of the Crimean Peninsula. Their purpose was to discuss the post-war fate of Germany and the rest of Europe. Roosevelt also wanted to know under what circumstances or conditions the Soviets would enter the war in the Pacific and help with the defeat of Japan. The decisions they'd make at Yalta would affect the world for generations. At the time of the meeting, Russia had driven back the Germans to within 40 miles of Berlin, while the Allies had yet to cross the Rhine River. Since possession is 9/10 of the law, that gave Stalin a great negotiating advantage. Charles de Gaulle, the president of France, was not invited to the conference. President Roosevelt at the time was in failing health and actually passed 2 months after the Yalta Conference. So, Connie, let's begin.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us again. Would each of you like to start with a message?
President Roosevelt. Yes, I truly would like to thank you for allowing me to come back again. It is a rare opportunity that we get, and I certainly want to take advantage of it. All of your listeners have to understand just how difficult this time was. World War II was huge. Millions of people had been killed. I did not want to take any chances on having more of our boys killed than was necessary. I made decisions that turned out to be not what I wanted them to be or work out the way I wanted them to. But we did our best. So anyway, Winston, would you like to say a few words? Yes, I too appreciate the fact that we are given a chance to speak once more. The end of World War II was something we all really wanted. It was a terrible war. As you know, Great Britain bore the brunt of it. We were the first to be attacked by Nazi Germany. We were almost defeated. We fought as we had never fought before, and as a country, we stuck together like we had never stuck together before. As we approached what we anticipated to be the end of the conflict, there were many, many problems to be solved. So I thank you for giving us a chance to be able to discuss what was on our minds at that great time in history.
I think it's a great opportunity for all of us, sir. Did either of you have any information that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor?
President Roosevelt, we had heard rumors that Japan was going to do something. We did not know what it was. We did not anticipate that they would attack us like that. I would certainly not have sacrificed so many of our boys had I understood what was going to take place. Our Navy would have not had our battleships there. Thank God we did not have our carrier fleet there as well, or we would have been at a very, very serious disadvantage. But no, I did not have any information that specifically they would attack Pearl Harbor. Churchill. Our intelligence sources had picked up information that there was a possibility that Japan would strike. We felt that it would not be long before they did something. We did not think that they would attack as rapidly as they did. We were very involved with the Nazis at that time, so we had our hands full. I did warn President Roosevelt that we thought something would be taking place, but neither of us had the specific information that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked.
Yeah. How would the two of you describe your personal relationship?
We had a very, very good personal relationship. I thought that President Roosevelt was a wonderful president. He had inherited very difficult times of got to govern. He tried many things to straighten out the Depression. He worked very hard to try to get the United States to intervene with us and to fight actively. There was much opposition in the United States at the time. Keep in mind that the American Nazi Party was very active before the war. There were many isolationists that did not want the United States to become involved. Many still had the terrible memories of World War I. But President Roosevelt did all that he could. He tried to get volunteers to come and fight in our Air Force. Great Britain considered President Roosevelt a wonderful friend. President Roosevelt. Winston was a very good friend. I trusted his advice. I tried to listen to things that he said. I realized that they were bearing the brunt of Nazi Germany aggression. I knew that it was just a matter of time until we would be forced to join with Great Britain in the war. We watched what he was doing in Europe. Hitler was conquering France, Poland, all the Baltic states. He was active in Africa. There was just so much going on at the time, but we did have a wonderful relationship.
What was your opinion of Charles de Gaulle, and why was France not invited to Yalta?
Churchill. I always thought de Gaulle was the personification of arrogance. Their battle plan did nothing to stop the Nazis from rolling across their country. Their resistance fighters were at times very effective, but there were not as many of them as I thought there should be. I felt that President Roosevelt and myself would do a better job of handling Stalin. I just did not think that de Gaulle would bring anything positive to the conference. President Roosevelt. Charles de Gaulle had his own way of looking at things. He had great personal pride. He loved the publicity. He wanted France to have a more important position. Keep in mind that France had been overrun in a very short period of time when the Nazis truly attacked. Their Maginot Line was a terrible concept. While de Gaulle certainly participated with us as allies, it was Great Britain and the United States that had to bear the brunt of things. So we felt that we should be the ones that would negotiate with Stalin.
Okay. Would each of you give your opinion to us of Stalin?
President Roosevelt. We all knew that Stalin was a very strong leader. He had no problems sending millions of Russian young men to their deaths. But he had stopped the Nazi invasion. Russia had suffered terribly at the time. They had been successfully pushing the Nazis back. They had entered Germany before we were able to do it. Stalin, I never really trusted. Keep in mind that at that time of Yalta, none of us really understood just how vicious or how little Stalin could be trusted. We knew that he was in a very strong bargaining position. Winston and I felt that if we stood together, we could be able to withstand some of the problems that he would be bringing up at the conference. I never really trusted him, but I did sincerely hope that he could be trusted. Churchill. I never really trusted Stalin, but he had been very effective in driving back the Germans. At that point, Stalin's army far exceeded the number of allies. He had viciously driven back the German army. He was relatively close to Berlin at the time of the conference. One of our worries was that he would push through and take all of Berlin before we were able to come in and participate. So I never really trusted him, but I hoped that we would be able to at least accomplish something that would be good for Europe in the future.
Would each of you explain what your goals were at Yalta?
President Roosevelt. Keep in mind that we were heavily engaged in the Pacific with the Japanese. The Japanese were refusing to surrender even when they were defeated. They would fight to the death. We were faced with the probability of having to invade the island of Japan. We knew that if we did that, it would cost us hundreds of thousands of lives. I wanted Stalin, once Germany was defeated, to join us by fighting in the Pacific. Russia was very close to Japan. They were fighting them as well. But I must admit, one of my main goals was to try to get help in what I anticipated was coming in the Pacific. We had not yet had great confidence that the atomic bomb was going to work, and we were all preparing for the invasion of Japan. Had I known what we could have, that the bomb was going to work, I would have approached things differently. Churchill. I wanted to assure that the European countries would become democracies. I did not trust Stalin. He assured us that there would be democratic elections in all of the countries. He had never allowed democratic elections in Russia, so I had doubts whether he would allow any type of democracy to take place. I wanted Poland particularly to become democratic. Poland was the traditional gateway of attack in Europe, and I felt that if we could install a strong democracy in Poland, that it would be great for the future of Europe. We also wanted the United Nations to be formed. We did not want it to resemble the League of Nations that had obviously failed after World War I, but we wanted Stalin to have Russia help form the United Nations. We envisioned it as being an organization that could assure stability and peace in the future. President Roosevelt especially was pushing for Russian membership. So there were things we wanted. Sadly, there were things that Stalin wanted as well. And as we found out, he could not be trusted. Yeah.
why did the future of Poland play such an important role in the negotiations, and what was each of your opinions about the future of Poland?
President Roosevelt. I knew that Poland was a large country, and I knew that it was in a position that it could act as a buffer between Russia and Germany. I wanted Poland to be a democracy. We wanted every country in Europe to be a democracy. At that point, keep in mind, we truly did not know just how evil a communist government could be. We wanted all of the European countries to work together into the future to rebuild. And we wanted Poland especially to be in a position to take the lead because of their geographic location. Churchill. I thought Poland was basically the key to the future of Europe. I knew that we would have split control of Germany. That was inevitable. I knew it was going to be partitioned. But if we could have a strong Poland, it would insulate Europe against future invasions. So I really felt that Poland was one of the keys to the future. And as it turned out, I was correct.
Okay. Would each of you share your opinion concerning the formation of the United Nations?
President Roosevelt. I thought that the formation of an organization such as the United Nations was absolutely critical to the future of the world. I realized that there was going to be a huge rebuilding. Japan, we were creating great damage in the country of Japan. All of the islands that we had had to take from them. Europe had been bombed incessantly. Great Britain was in terrible condition. The Soviet Union was their infrastructure was destroyed. It was the rebuilding of Europe was going to be a monumental chore. And I felt that it was going to be something that would require the cooperation of all the countries. I hoped that everyone had had their fill of war and that they were all countries would be ready to work together. The only way to do that was to have a place where people could communicate, countries could speak, and they could work together as a single unit. Churchill. I had seen the failure of the League of Nations. I watched as they tried to work together to penalize Germany, and I saw the effects. I watched as Hitler rose to power. I thought that there were so many different viewpoints that it would be difficult to have an organization that could work effectively in the long term. I felt that an organization to build cooperation among all the countries of the world was very important. But I was also realistic enough to understand the great challenge that that represented. Franklin felt stronger than I did about that it was an imperative that we leave Yalta with an understanding that the Soviet Union would join such an organization. I felt that we couldn't trust Stalin. In my mind, I could see an organization that did not have Russia involved so that we could cooperate better with Reconstruction. We differed slightly on our opinion on the UN, but we did both agree that something of that nature needed to exist.
Could there have been a United Nations without the veto right agreement?
We felt that there could. Stalin felt that there was no way. Stalin would not have agreed to join the organization without having a primary security council in which they had veto rights. It was either give them veto right or there would be no United Nations. Winston and I both realized that it was a very bad thing. The other side of the coin was we felt that we, that Great Britain and the United States would be carrying most of the load, and that we should have the rights to veto things as well. Churchill. I knew when Stalin wanted the right of veto that it would be a serious problem in the future. As I said earlier, I never trusted him. I realized that he would have the ability to basically hold the United Nations victims, that they would have, it would give them the will to stop anything that they, any major issues or decisions that would go against their will. I agreed to it because I did figure that we would be better off at least having them in the organization.
Okay. What changes would you make in the modern United Nations?
In the modern United Nations has basically become a bureaucracy. There are things that they do, but there are many times that they cannot proceed because of the veto rights. I know that it would be very difficult, but in my opinion, after watching over this for so many years, it would be far better if there were a limited veto. Perhaps you could only veto bills or suggestions several times a year. If there was the ability to override a veto by a supermajority of vote, that would be, I think, one way to handle the situation. Churchill. The veto gives the Soviet Union control over the United Nations. As long as they have that control, the UN will be very limited in what they can accomplish. I agree with Franklin that a supermajority vote should be able to overcome a veto.
Okay, there was an agreement that democratic elections would be established in all of the liberated European and former Axis satellite countries. Why did you think Stalin would live up to that agreement?
President Roosevelt. I thought that it would be to their advantage. I did not realize that Stalin basically wanted to conquer all of those countries and take them back into the Soviet Union. I knew that sometimes you could not trust what he was saying. But he was very emphatic and promised that he would allow democratic elections in the countries that would continue under Soviet control. He agreed that he would join the war in the Pacific 2 to 3 months after the Nazis were were defeated. I felt that it was very necessary for that to happen, so I agreed to his promise that there would be democratic elections. Churchill. I always doubted that Stalin would allow democratic elections. I felt that if he had elections, that they would be rigged so that his people would be taking positions of power. Stalin was ruthless. I understood that. I know that Franklin felt that there was some good in the man, but I felt that there was none. I saw what he did to the countries that he supposedly liberated. Our greatest fear was that he was, as we said earlier, was that he would push through and capture and take all of Berlin before we could get our troops participating in Central Germany. We really did not have a whole lot of choices. If he had stormed out of the room and said, we will do what we're going to do, it would have been a real problem. The best we were going to get was his promise of democratic elections, although he was lying through his teeth.
Okay, the U.S. had not tested the atomic bomb before the Yalta Conference. If you had known the bomb was successful, would you have handled Stalin any differently?
Churchill. Franklin told me that they were working on a super weapon. They did not know whether it was going to be successful or not. We also knew that the Nazis had been trying to develop atomic weapons as well. Their scientists had been working on it, and we did not truly know just how close they were to having a super weapon. We knew that we had to end the war as soon as possible in Europe. We had heard nothing about Japan working on such a weapon, but we did know the possibility of Nazi Germany having one. If we had had the weapon a little earlier, and if we had used it, it would have changed Franklin's stance. The weapon would have been a great threat towards Russia as well. But as it was not an ace that could have been played at that time. So, yes, our stance would have been different. President Roosevelt. I knew that we were very close to testing the weapon. It had been a closely guarded secret. If we had been able to use the weapon on Japan before the Yalta Conference, I would have known that I did not require the Soviet Union to complete the war in the Pacific. As I told you earlier, my priority was trying to get him to work with us in the Pacific. If we could have, with a high probability, known that we could have ended it with the super weapon, then I would have certainly handled Stalin much differently. I would have been able to use the weapon, the threat of the weapon against him. Timing was so difficult. Had I known what the results of using the bomb were going to be, then I would have definitely handled the Yalta conference differently. And I truly think that things in of the future would have been much different.
Okay. What do you consider the greatest mistake made at Yalta?
President Roosevelt. The greatest mistake, I think, was trusting Stalin. The greatest mistake was not forcibly making him understand the importance of democratic elections. He had the ability, he had the larger army, and he was ruthless. Maybe we should have allowed de Gaulle to come in as well, so that we could have had more opportunities or more people opposing Stalin. But Stalin had his mind made up. Churchill. I know that the largest problem at the Yalta conference that we had, the biggest mistake, was trusting anything that Stalin told us. I agree with Franklin totally on that. It was a difficult time. Franklin realized they would soon be testing a bomb. Perhaps if we had delayed the conference. The problem with delaying the conference was Stalin was so close to Berlin. It was just, as it turned out under the circumstances, we just had very few choices. We pretty much had to accept what he was going to do.
Okay, one of our listeners has a question for you, gentlemen. Why did you believe the division of Berlin was a good compromise?
President Roosevelt. It wasn't a good compromise. None of us thought that it was. But as we stated earlier, Stalin's troops were 40 miles from Berlin. If we had not made an agreement as to how we were going to divide Berlin, he could have just simply advanced his troops, taken the whole city, and then we would have had nothing. Once Stalin controlled something, there was very little that we could do. If our troops had crossed the Rhine at that point, and if we knew we could have arrived in Berlin simultaneous with him, we would have been in a much stronger position not to partition Berlin.
What do you consider the best decision that was made at Yalta?
I think the best decision was probably the United Nations. While I really wanted the United Nations to be formed, we did manage to get Stalin to agree So we did have a format that we could at least discuss things for all the years of the Cold War. I think the best, one of the other best things is that Stalin understood the solidarity of the Allied countries. He came out of Yalta understanding that we wanted a strong Europe. Now, sadly, he partitioned Europe, and for many years the Cold War existed. But I think the strongest thing from my standpoint was that he understood the solidarity of the Allies. Churchill. For me, the strongest thing that came out of Yalta was that I totally understood that I could never trust Stalin. I knew that we did not want Europe to fall into another war. But I also knew that the Allied countries had to stand together. Once we understood each other's positions, and we understood just how much Stalin had lied to us, it led to the formation of NATO. Today, NATO stands once again between the free world and Russia. So, an indirect product and an unintended consequence of Yalta was the formation of NATO, which is an extremely good thing for the protection of Europe.
Yeah. How did the decisions made at Yalta affect what's taking place today?
The decisions at Yalta and the decisions made by Stalin created the boundaries, the Iron Curtain. The Iron Curtain separated countries that progressed economically and countries that did not under communism. Once the Soviets set up the Iron Curtain, they began to build a very strong military. They began to build nuclear weapons. They built this huge nuclear arsenal. When the Iron Curtain fell, democracy surged in all of the countries of Europe. The formation of democracies threatened communism. The Russian government pretended for a while that they would democratize, that they wanted to trade with the West, that they wanted to normalize relations. The rulers of Russia continued to lie to the people. The propaganda has affected the people of Russia. The rulers stole their monies. It set up a system of government that allowed us to be where we are today. Russia is still basically a country that believes many of the teachings that Stalin brought to them. Many of the problems from the Cold War are still following Russia, their attitude, the idea that they can still bring countries that were once part of the Russian Empire back into their powers. Sadly, many of the decisions that we made at Yalta allowed events to take place that would last for many, many years. And there would still be much bitterness towards allied democracies because essentially they beat communism.
What do each of you see as the greatest future threat for the democracies of the world?
President Roosevelt. I see nuclear weapons in general and their proliferation as the greatest risk to human evolution and to the countries of the world. There has to be some mechanism by which nuclear weapons are either controlled or even eliminated. The threat of nuclear war hangs very heavy over the world today. Churchill. I agree with Franklin that nuclear weapons are the greatest threat to the world. I see what is happening to Russia. This war is going to damage them economically. Hopefully, they have people that understand that if they attempted to use their weapons, then the retaliation against Russia would be devastating. So in my heart, I feel that they will not use their weapons. I see countries such as Iran getting nuclear weapons as one of the greatest threats, being that the leaders of their country see using the weapons as a method of jihad. And I do not see them having the same rationales as many other countries. I see China emerging as a great risk, but generally, China is a very intelligent country and makes decisions that will not be overly self-destructive for them. So I think the ability of religious fanatics to get nuclear weapons is the greatest risk because I fear they would use them.
Do you think China will be able to become the number one most powerful country in the future? I know that's what they're looking for.
Roosevelt. There will be a time that their economy will cease to grow. They have many internal problems. They have created situations such as their one-child policy that will limit the ability of the population to do many of the things that they need to become the greatest power. They will build a strong military, but I do not think that they will use that military to truly bring about any type of world war. China is now seeing that the democracies of the world will join together as they are doing in the Ukraine. I think China realizes that if they start a major war where the other countries of the world are affected by it, that there will be a united front against them as well. So I do believe there will be a time that they approach the United States. Hopefully the government here will realize what is taking place and take measures to stop relying so heavily on China. China relies on world trade to make them powerful. If the countries join together and work against China, reduce their trade with their huge population and workforce, it will create many, many problems for them.
Okay, we have another question from one of our listeners. She would like to know what you gentlemen think of the shape that the United States is in today.
President Roosevelt. When I was president, the country was in great problems. We did try to work together. People cooperated for the people. It took a long time, but we did gradually solve problems. Today, the political parties are so divided that they have little ability to work together. Today, the United States government is spending far more than they are taking in. Now, I did create deficits as well, but we were faced with the greatest depression of all time. We also had to prepare for a world war. At present, I do not think the parties are capable of cooperating to the extent needed to accomplish many of the problems. Churchill. The British are pretty famous for having governments that don't get along. But we persevere. We don't always do what's right, but we do not always do what's wrong. When the chips are down, I think you find that politicians can work together. Periods of prosperity lead to periods of non-cooperation. When things are difficult, people pull together. We withstood the Nazi invasion and bombing. It was horrendous, but we pulled together. I think if things get tough enough that your politicians will be able to work together and solve their problems.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Would each of you like to make a closing statement?
President Roosevelt. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak today. When I was president, it was an incredibly difficult time. Yes, I was elected to 4 terms. I was elected at a time where the country was in greatest economic need. I served in the time where they were involved in the greatest war. We were faced with war, with fighting in Europe and fighting throughout the Pacific. We were faced with converting our entire industrial base to making weapons of war. We did what we had to do. Americans are very resilient. I think that they will rise to any type of emergency. It's been several generations since many of your youth have been involved in a huge war. Many of the young don't understand just how great the difficulties that a country can find themselves in. I pray that God will lead the leaders of the democracies of the world. I pray that the democracies of the world will influence the other governments, and that there is a time that all countries cooperate. So thank you for allowing me to speak. I served in Great Britain at a terrible time as well. We bore the brunt of Nazi aggression. He bombed our cities. He tried to destroy our will. But the British people were stronger. We stood up to them and we defeated them. People are much stronger than you give them credit for. People will react to terrible situations. When things are bad, they will work together. Right now, you are looking at times where life can be very difficult. For the last multiple generations, people have feared nuclear war. The United Nations has not performed as we had hoped. What is good is NATO is standing together as an armed force to protect Europe. Many things are happening that are positive, and I think people have to simply look at the positive to truly understand that humans have a spark of good, and that spark can ignite to have them join together and do what is right in this world. So thank you for allowing us to speak.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, guys. Next week, little change of pace. We're going to be channeling Susan B. Anthony, Margaret Thatcher, and Gloria Steinem. We'll be having a roundtable discussion of the state of women's rights and what they feel the future should be for the challenges that are facing women in general. You can submit questions or suggestions for future guests through our email, channelinghistoryonparax@gmail.com. My eighth book, Message of God for a Modern World, is now available in an English and Spanish edition. If you have friends that speak Spanish, tell them about it. They will truly enjoy the book. Both editions are available on Kindle for immediate download. Signed copies are only available on my website. That's barrystrom.com. We've started a new radio show on Voice America. It's called Exploring the Afterlife. It can be heard 9 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time on Tuesdays. All our shows are available on YouTube. They're in my name, Barry Strom. If you want to download them, go to Podomatic.com and just simply search Channeling History. We hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you for listening, and please join us Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Pararex Radio Network.
And I would also like to thank you all for joining us this evening. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our Story Begins by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.